Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Joe Robb. We worked on the Inclusion Revolution Together with Love album. Remember that? Where I partnered with him and we came up with a real incredible piece of art. I hope today finds you in a good spirit. Today I got a little bit miserable. It was like I just got a little miserable with the staff today. And I was checking myself. I have to tell you, you know, when you have garnered enough tools, you realize that it's not about people, but it's about you. But it was about me, like, I'm very fast, I'm very efficient, I'm very forward-thinking. And for some reason, someone said something about, oh, you're too fast, you need to slow down, just take it easy and be slower. Let me tell you, that got me so irritated, I just could not find the words to tell you. I looked at her and I says, don't you ever say that. What do you want me to do? Just sit and be and do nothing? just be slow, like slow and easy, and have my day pass by and not help someone, not be in service to someone, not be of use in life? I can't do that. And why should anyone do that in their lives? But girl, let me tell you, even after that moment, I found myself going over and over and over, playing it over and over again in my mind. And you know what I realized? Is that I felt like I put so much effort and time in everything that I love to do. And it bothers me when folks that are around me in my team aren't at that level of supporting it or moving at that speed. So it's like one part of the train is going left and the other part wants to go right or go hold up. Or here is a better example, which I had used for everyone else. I said, does it make sense you're in a, what do you call it, relay race, you know, when you have to pass the baton to the other person, and one person in the team decides, well, I'd rather jog than run like you as a sprinter. I mean, what does that say? So please, can someone text me or email me and tell me if I'm wrong? That if you're in a team dynamics, and especially if you're on the front caboose, right? The front caboose. Isn't everyone supposed to keep up with you if they're with you in that same caboose? Or if they're with you in the relay race, aren't they supposed to be keeping up with you in the relay race? If I tell you, let's be ready at 5 o'clock, and I'm still waiting for you, it's 5:15, what does that say? So I think it got me really irritated within myself, going, I just need to get to that place of energy where I want to see around me. And I think that was where it was. It had nothing to do with the people around me. Everyone around me are the most beautiful people in the entire universe. I couldn't be more blessed. They're the sweetest, most beautiful people. But then when it comes down to the speed and the efficiency and forward thinking, you know, sometimes it just feels like it's just you. It's just you. But you won't give up, because life is all about moving forward, because you know what? It's always just one particular soul that can, you know, inspire the hearts of many. And talking about inspiring the hearts of many, I am looking so forward to my conversation with this amazing guest. Sharon Content is the founder and the president of Children of Promise NYC. It's a community-based organization in Bedford, Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, with a mission to embrace the children of incarcerated parents and empower them to break the cycle of the intergenerational involvement in the criminal justice system. Sharon successfully developed a unique and innovative program, the only one of its kind in New York City, that now serves 350 children and families per year. Under her leadership, Children of Promise NYC has evolved from a small community-based organization to a growing, sustainable nonprofit that has served more than 1,000 children and families impacted by incarceration. Give her a big hand of applause, ladies and gentlemen. This is amazing work that Sharon is doing. She and the organization have been publicly recognized and honored for its exemplary work. Sharon was the recipient of the prestigious Hidden Heroes Award from the Andrew Goodman Foundation, a New York Post Liberty Medal for Leadership, and the Brooklyn Foundation's Do Gooder Award. Children's of Promise, NYC was selected as Agency of the Year by the New Jersey Nets and was recently featured in a number of media outlets. Today, it's my pleasure to welcome Sharon Content on the air. Hi, Sharon.
Good morning. Hello.
Hi. I loved looking at all of the videos and all the media of the work you're doing. I'm so proud of the work you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I do appreciate your compliment. Thank you.
Definitely. Well, how did you get started in this?
Well, actually, I had a for-profit background. I worked on Wall Street. I had a finance background. I was in the finance industry. And while I enjoyed the culture and I enjoyed the momentum of working in finance, I just didn't wake up in the morning feeling the passion that I wanted to in going into the office. I didn't feel the commitment that I wanted to walk through the doors. And I decided to leave the for-profit sector, and I was going to embark on the nonprofit sector because I knew I wanted to give my time, my energy, my efforts towards making an impact in the inner city. I didn't know in what capacity, I didn't know in what area, I just knew I wanted to make a difference in communities that I felt were disadvantaged. And my first job off of Wall Street was working at an alternative to incarceration program for teens, and they used my finance background because we formed small businesses and used entrepreneurship as the main tool to teach skills to young people, as I said, that were mandated by the courts to attend the program rather than go to prison. And that's where I found my calling. That's where I found the passion that I wanted to wake up in the morning with and wanted to drive to work and feel so committed to working with young people, and I felt it. And that's how I embarked in the nonprofit sector and working with young people. And while working with those particular young people, I found a population that I felt was kind of ignored and neglected, but I didn't have a referral source. I didn't have anywhere I could send children of incarcerated parents. And I decided to form an organization, Children of Promise NYC.
Now, Sharon, did you know anyone that was incarcerated? Was anyone close to you or a family member? Because even though you could look for all the issues that are out there, it just strikes me as this very sensitive, delicate area in which a lot of people can feel it. You know, if they've been through it, they would say, I want to help. Did you know anyone that was incarcerated that was actually, you know, having a child who was going through some very challenging times? Or is this even something bigger than what you might have?
Yeah, you know what? At the time when I started the organization, I had experience years prior with incarceration where a loved one of mine was incarcerated, but I didn't understand it from the perspective of the child. I was an adult visiting another adult that was in prison, but I did see families, but it didn't really hit me at that time. I saw their experiences. I kind of noticed it from afar, but I didn't at that time recognize how I could make an impact in their lives. It wasn't until many years later that I was working with young people, confronted with families impacted by incarceration again, and I just didn't have a referral source. And my own entrepreneurial spirit kind of kicked in, and I said, you know what? This is a population that I felt we really needed to design an organization to specifically meet the needs, interests, and concerns of children of imprisoned parents.
That's very good. Well, very timely. One of my students just got incarcerated, and it was for domestic violence. And he was imprisoned for, he was sentenced to just 6 months, but they put him in very high security section. And he's just going through hell right now. And it's just like, what did I do? I mean, of course he doesn't realize beating up a woman is not a good thing, right?
Right.
At the same token, he's like, but I'm not a serial killer. I'm not a gang member. I'm not. And it's just a system that it's really unhealthy on so many levels. So when you really begin to think about the children of some of these individuals that are affected, it's a huge call. Now, children and families affected by incarceration have not historically been a part of a public discussion around prison reform. How do you see and recognize this population when so often, Sharon, children of incarcerated parents are the unseen victims of mass incarceration?
Yes, I do consider the children of incarcerated parents the silent victims, absolutely. And there's 2.7 million children in the United States that has an imprisoned parent. The United States has the largest prison population of any country. So we can understand that, and while these are the staggering numbers, it's not part of the discussion, as you said, when discussing mass incarceration. So that was really the impetus of us creating this organization and really wanting to not only recognize the population, but how do we design services that's really going to break that cycle so that the young people in our organization, a part of this target population, does not repeat the cycle, either as a juvenile or an adult, and entering into the criminal justice system.
So how do you do that? Because some of the kids have to go to the, well, you know what I mean, some of the kids have to go to the jail or the prison house and see their father or their mother, and it becomes normal, like, oh, well, that's the place my mom and dad, I grew up going there. So how do you protect them to say, you know what, that's not really where you are going to end up?
Right. So what we do, our model is very unique, so that it's really the way that we not only bring 350 young people together that all have similar experiences, so we're creating a safe space that young people could come in and deal with the stigma, the shame, and for so many of them, the secret of having a parent in prison. You know, grandma says, you know, when you get to school, don't say anything about what happened to mom or dad last night when they got arrested. Don't say anything about where mom and dad is. You know, for many of our children, they're not able to talk about the issues around having their parent in prison, and that's what we allow them. Children of Promise NYC is also a licensed outpatient adolescent mental health clinic. So we create a safe space that our young people are able not only to come in and deal with the issues, but we're able to provide the mental health services. They can develop positive coping mechanisms to deal with the issues around having a parent in prison. So the way that we're going to break the cycle is to allow our young people to express what they're feeling and then to be able to develop mechanisms to deal with those emotions, the depression, the anxiety, the loss, the anger for so many of our young people. Why does your mom get to come to the school play but mine doesn't? And the anger around those emotions and being able to do that in a what looks like a very, you know, traditional after-school program, coming in and receiving so many of those traditional after-school services, but able to meet with your clinician, the psychiatrist, to deal with the issues, those underlying issues from the inside out.
That's very good, because my mother was orphaned at 7, and it was quite a traumatic upbringing, and she had no one to talk to. And I could see what that energy has done to her in her life. Growing
Absolutely.
Up, and you know, yeah, it's not easy. That's a very important tool. It's a very important tool.
And add one thing there, in being able to provide those mental health services, which are needed in a culturally acceptable setting. You know, being able to provide mental health services in an after-school program. So while you're coming to play basketball, you're also able to see your clinician. Because, you know, there's a stigma around mental health services. So, you know, a child will say, Ms. Content, I'm not going to that clinic. That clinic's not for me. That clinic's for crazy people. You know, there's a stigma around. That's what one child told me. But how do we allow them to receive the services that they do need in a setting or a venue or in a program that's much more culturally acceptable for African Americans and Latinos, whereas it's my after-school program. But, yes, I get my mental health services there as well.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I've been coining mental illness completely different just so everybody realizes that whenever they get upset, if they're jealous, critical, or judgment, it is a mental issue. So let's talk about
Absolutely.
How you've grown the organization. And what was your initial outreach to the community to bring participants to help in the program?
Right. Now, the initial outreach, we had to do a lot of grassroots marketing, you know, because initially I thought we would go into the schools and the guidance counselors and the principals and the teachers would make all these referrals. But since there's a stigma around incarceration, the schools didn't know. You know, as I said, mom or says, don't talk about that when you get to school. You know, don't mention that. So the schools weren't able to make the referrals that we initially thought. So we had to do a lot of grassroots marketing. We went into the projects, low-income housing. We went into the trains, the bus stops. And then we also partnered with a number of other social service agencies in the community. So we went into the shelters, the soup kitchens, other agencies that are also providing the support services that so many of our families need. Because as you can imagine, incarceration is not the only dynamic that's going on. So we had to really find our families, but we knew which communities. We knew which communities in New York were highly impacted by incarceration because our families don't move. Once that incarceration occurs, they're still in the same community. So we knew the communities across New York City, and we were able to really target, and Bedford-Stuyvesant is one.
Oh, that's fantastic. Actually continue with where we are with the growth of the community. In terms of years later that you've grown the community, what's been your greatest challenge in keeping it going?
Well, as in any nonprofit organization, and not only Children of Promise NYC, it's the challenge, of course, of bringing in the resources. We don't charge our families.
Yeah.
There's no fee for our families to attend the program for any of the services. We have a mentoring service. We have family engagement, academic support. We feed our families, mental health services. So there's no fee. So, of course, the challenge at Children of Promise NYC, as I said, at any nonprofit, how do you continuously sustain the organization? A donor may give today $50,000 and the next year say, oh, you know what, Sharon, Children of Promise, I can't provide that donation again this year. So how do you sustain and raise $3 million every year? That's the challenge, sustainability.
So any thoughts? Like, how are you doing it so far? Are you in bitcoins coming from Wall Street?
No.
No, that's a bit too uncertain for us to kind of invest our time in at this particular time.
Right.
But what we have done, we have invested in really how do we diversify our funding. And diversify means looking at a wide range of resources. So that's your government grants, your foundations, your individual donors, your events and galas. It's how do you cultivate individuals. We have a wide range of volunteers that are really committed to our organization. How do we allow our volunteers to support us, and not only support us maybe from their own personal monetary donations, but also support us through their resources? So how do we really galvanize other individuals to support the organization? You know, it can't just be a solo project of, okay, I hired this development director and, okay, write a number of grants. Because grants are very competitive. It can't be your sole source of funding. It's competitive and unpredictable. So with those two dynamics, it's very difficult. So what we have to do is really diversify and really look at corporations. How do we get corporations to really understand our mission? Incarceration is kind of difficult. So for some corporations, they don't quite see the connection, but we have to really cultivate and really establish those relationships and give a voice to our families. That really is how we do it.
I love what you're doing. And again, you know, as you're talking, I'm just feeling that, you know, with the way things are in the world right now and your story being so compelling, I would just start to grab photo, video, recording images and just make it into a story that can go out there. I just think it's just so powerful. I can just feel it, that needs to be done. You're coming up to your 10-year celebration. What are you planning to do and how can I come?
Sure. Well, you know what? We are, for our 10-year anniversary, I'm so proud of being able to have a team that has supported, and a team meaning not just a team as in staff, the team of individuals and corporations and community-based organizations and the community at large that have supported us over the past 10 years, that we're making it a year of celebration. So it's not just one gala, which will be in October, but it's not just the one gala. It's every month we are going to thank and express and demonstrate our appreciation for one specific group. So let it be our mentors, volunteers, as I said, corporations, foundations, and every month we're going to thank that particular group, and it's going to be a year of celebration. So 12 months, 12 different groups of all the various individuals and groups and corporations and community members at large, staff, foundations, all of our partners. And every month we're going to thank and appreciate so that we can really express and demonstrate how our organization was able to be sustained over the past 10 years and really just kind of targeting a different group and thanking them.
Well, that is so wonderful. Now, will there be an opportunity for some of the parents that are incarcerated to be able to join the celebrations or at least via video? Oh, wonderful. Tell us more.
Absolutely. That will be one of the months will be our incarcerated parents. I go into the prisons at least once every 3 months and various prisons. Mm-hmm. And the gentlemen and the women that I meet have always asked me, the consistent question is, how can I still remain engaged and supportive even behind prison walls? And we receive at least 5 to 10 letters a week from various, and not only from the imprisoned parents whose children attend the program, but from other individuals who also, maybe their children are not able to attend the program in Bed-Stuy, but they have children and they're committed to our mission, and they support us not only from donations, they support us with great ideas, because for so many of the men, they understand the challenges that so many of our young people are going through. So they send me ideas and poems and letters and different ways they can support the agency. So one of our groups will be the incarcerated parent and other gentlemen and women in behind prison walls that have supported the agency.
That's so good. That's so glad to hear. Well, how can the New York community and elsewhere support the success of Children of Promise NYC?
Thank you so much for asking. There's so many ways that individuals can become engaged with our organization. One is they can visit our website and become a volunteer. We have volunteers that come in the afternoon that help our young people with homework and other activities. We have a Saturday program which is focused on tutoring. It's a Saturday resource center from 10 to 2, so individuals can volunteer as well. They can also connect us with other resources. They may be available through their corporations that donate to nonprofit organizations. They can inform us and share information with us. They can donate, of course, to our organization. We're always open and welcome to various levels of donation. So people can commit to the organization in the level or the way that they feel is comfortable for them. They could become a mentor to one of our young people, which is a year commitment of 1 hour per week, and that hour can be spent at the organization in the after-school program or on weekends. So there's a number of ways. You can join one of our three committees. We have an executive board, we have a women's philanthropy group, and we have a junior board. So there's ways you can become committed on another level in becoming one of our committee members and then support us in how we bring in resources and cultivate various individuals to become engaged.
That's fantastic. I really, really want to keep up with what you're doing, and I especially love the fact that none of the children so far that you have been mentoring has even gotten into any kind of trouble. It's as if they've just moved away from that. I love the story of the young guy. What was his name? Ligasil?
Legacy.
Yeah, Legacy. He's amazing. Is he still around?
Yes, he is. He's been a part of our organization for the past 6 years. His younger brother is a part of our organization. He has definitely been and initiated and just started our teen program, because for so many of our young people, as they're getting older, they're still attending the program, but our program is from 6 to 13. But now we've just started our teen 14 to 18 years old, so now we can keep our older young people engaged, because as you know, they also need the support as a teen. So we're able to provide and continue to provide our services, not only our mental health services, our mentoring, academic support, our family engagement, because we also have to engage that grandmother or that mom, that caregiver, that foster mom, who's now raising the children. So we engage them through our parent support group meetings that occur twice a month.
Well, Sharon Content, thank you so much for the work that you're doing with Children of Promise NYC.
And
I can only continue to wish you just continued success in that. And when I'm up in New York, I'm definitely going to come by and give you a visit.
Absolutely. I look forward to meeting, and I thank you so much for your audience for listening.
You're welcome. Take good care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Just love the work that she's doing. I mean, just think about these 350 kids and family members in which she's just picked up, and she's doing massive work with them. I mean, when you wake up in the mornings and you just don't feel inspired and you really begin to look at what it is you're supposed to be doing, you know, something that I was thinking this morning, sometimes you get so caught up in looking or thinking what others should be doing or what you think you should be doing because of someone else. But if you stop listening to God, it's like you just don't get your call. I love what she's doing. I think she was fantastic. Very driven young woman. So do give them a ring or offer some donation. So that website is cpnyc.org for some more information on Children of Promise NYC, helping children whose parents are incarcerated and caught up in the system. No one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. We have to shine our light so bright so that others can be inspired. And you know what can get you upset is when your light's not that bright, that obviously no one around you is as inspired as you. So the whole work about what you've got to do to just keep yourself going. So don't give up hope, folks. You just hang tight. All's going to be well. Take good care, and remember to keep in touch with us on America Meditating Facebook and on Twitter, America Meditate Only. All right, drop us an email if you've got any questions. Take good care. Here's MC Yogi. Give love.
Don't you cry, every little thing's gonna be alright. Don't worry, don't be afraid, every little thing's gonna be okay. Open up your heart, unlock the cage, turn the key and break the chains. Love will always find a way. If you want love, you gotta give love away. Give love. Living is love and love is giving. When we live for love, it gives life meaning. When we live to give love, there's no greater feeling. This feeling of kindness and love's inside us. Nobody can sell this or try to buy this, cause love is priceless and it guides us, lifts us up and ignites us. Love can bind us and remind us love has no limit, cause love is timeless. Hate and fear will try to blind us, but love unites. for generosity, giving consciously and constantly. When we all give love, there's no stopping. We just open up the door and let your love pour. When you open up to love, you can never be poor, cause there's always more inside the core, way more in store than you could bargain for. An infinite supply for us to share. So just throw your hands up in the air, wave them all around the atmosphere, show the whole world how much you care. We gotta give everybody love and respect, cause what we give is what we get. Come on, always remember, never forget, what we give is what we get. Give love.
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.